Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
104.1 FM KMOX, the Chris and Amy show is coming up here momentarily. Amy is out, John Hancock is in, and we are awaiting a press conference to happen in Utah after it is believed they have caught the suspect in the shooting and the murder of Charlie Kirk. So we are waiting for this to happen. It is supposed to be here within the matter of moments, but of course, as you know, press conferences sometimes at the... Actually, oftentimes, rarely start on time. So we will get to that as soon as we can. We want to hear from you throughout the day today, though. 314-436-7900 is the phone number that you can call or text on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You download the app, and then you can go ahead and send us a voice message whenever you like. That is all day, every day. Go ahead and tell us what you think about whatever it is we're talking about, or if something else is on your mind, feel free to do that. We will be streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find us at Chris Amy KMOX, and we want you to go ahead and watch us if you can.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
As I mentioned, authorities do believe they have the suspect in custody. We don't have a ton of details, but it has been reported. It is 22-year-old Tyler Robinson out of Utah. Also hearing that maybe his father helped turn him in. And so we will get all of the information. We'll get the update as soon as we have it. Also, ex-Missouri Speaker of the House John Deal has pled guilty to fraud charges. We will talk about that on the show. And the Cardinals and Brewers tonight will get going. It is a 7:20 first pitch. They are on the road tonight. And this is, for them, a road trip that when it is over, they will come back home and have their final homestand of the 2025 season. So this is coming up here very quickly. Also, we should tell you, that's the NFL no prize pick'em. You know, we do our no prize pick'em challenge. We do it every Friday. Today, our celebrity picker will be Dennis Jankerson, who is the chief police, or the chief police, the fire chief here in St. Louis. He will be our celebrity picker, and all we do is... pick the winners of the games, and whoever comes out on top at the end of the year gets absolutely nothing. It is the no prize pick'em challenge. But I do believe that Amy and I will be there will be a punishment. There's going to be a severe punishment for the loser, the one who won the least by the end of the season. So that is happening. Danon Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst, will join the show. That'll be at 11:30 today. We got a lot coming up prior to that, and we hope that you will stick around. So we're waiting for the press conference here to happen in Utah. The FBI is expected to give an update here on the shooting suspect, who they believe is in custody. And as I mentioned here just a few moments ago, the reports that have been out there are that it is a 22-year-old by the name of Tyler Robinson. He is from Utah. His father apparently helped. We don't know if he restrained his son or if he talked his son into staying and turning himself in. Whatever it is, the father allegedly called authorities and said, hey, it's my son. I've got him. So we are going to hear the press conference and get the update. Obviously, this has been a very, very big deal. Just a couple of days ago, a popular, even if you did not agree with him, he was very popular, podcast host, talk show host. He was going around the country and speaking to students on college campuses and openly debating them. And that's what was going on a couple of days ago at Utah Valley College in Utah. And he was shot by this assassin. I've got John Hancock with me today.
Governor Cox.
And so
FBI Director,
is this the press conference here? Yep. Let's go ahead and send it to Utah.
We also have with us Utah DPS Commissioner Bo Mason, Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson, FBI Special Agent in Charge Robert Bowles, and local and federal law enforcement partners. Following the remarks today, Governor Cox, Director Patel, and Commissioner Mason will take questions. Thank you.
This is the press conference on the catching of the suspect of the shooting of Charlie Kirk.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI. Investigators reviewed additional video footage from UVU surveillance and identified Robinson arriving on UVU campus in a gray Dodge Challenger at approximately 8:29 a.m. on September 10th. In which he is observed on video in a plain maroon t-shirt, light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and light-colored shoes. When encountered in person by investigators in Washington County on September 12th, in the early morning hours, Robinson was observed in consistent clothing with those surveillance images. Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate, who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device. The content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. Messages from the contact Tyler also mentioned that he had changed outfits. I know there has been speculation as well as to the writing on those casings. those bullet casings, and I believe we have that as well. And I will share that with you now. So the area north of Campus Drive Road where the suspect crossed over, you saw some of that in the video that we released last night, consists of a grassy area with trees on the edge of the UVU campus. Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this, question mark?" Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey, fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point." Up arrow symbol, right arrow, and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "Oh, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO." We are indebted to law enforcement across the state who has worked seamlessly together, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and our federal partners with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We're grateful for everyone who worked together in such a short amount of time to find this person and to bring justice. I want to thank the public who has been so engaged, reviewing videos, helping us with sending in tips, and helping us get to this point. I want to thank the family members of Tyler Robinson who did the right thing in this case and were able to bring him into to law enforcement as well. I especially want to thank the family of Charlie Kirk, Erica, Charlie's parents, his children. I want us to be thinking of them as we bring justice in this case. They will be involved in that justice. We will be working very closely with them as we move through this process as well. This is a very sad day for our country, a terrible day for the state of Utah. But I'm grateful that at this moment we have an opportunity to bring closure to this very dark chapter in our nation's history. With that, I will now turn the microphone over to the director of the FBI, Kash Patel.
Thank you, Governor. This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. The FBI and our partners are proud to stand here today together to bring justice to the family of Charlie Kirk and honor his memory. I want to express my deep gratitude to President Trump, the Vice President, and the entire White House who have been so incredibly supportive with both resources and just personally to the FBI as a team. They had our backs the entire way, and I just want to express my gratitude for giving us the resources we need to operate in this space to bring this sort of justice at this sort of speed. In 33 hours, we have made historic progress for Charlie. Governor Cox, our partnership has been absolutely incredible these last few days. Our partnership will endure. Your state and local partners, your sheriffs, your DPS community has been unbelievably impressive in the hardest of times. And a case like this cannot be solved, cannot be brought without partnering with your state and local authorities. The FBI has a certain role to play, and we will play that role, and we will lead out for the federal government. But Governor Cox, we are so grateful for your state partnership that led out on this investigation. A little bit of the timeline. Charlie was shot at 12:23 p.m. on Wednesday. The first FBI agents arrived on scene in 16 minutes with chiefs of police at 12:39 and secured the scene. The FBI immediately launched fixed-wing assets. We utilized these assets to transport personnel, specialty technicians, hostage rescue teams. We also utilize these assets to go back and forth from the East Coast and here in Utah to transport forensic evidence and other evidence that will be analyzed and is being analyzed at our FBI laboratories in Quantico and other laboratories, including the ATF. At my direction, the FBI released the first set of FBI photos of the suspect at 10 a.m. local time on 9/11. Then, shortly thereafter, the FBI reward of $100,000 was released at 10:45 a.m. local. Myself and Deputy Director Bongino arrived on the scene at approximately 5:30 p.m. on 9/11. The governor led a press conference last night at approximately 8 p.m., where at my direction, the FBI released a never-before-seen video of the suspect. We also released new images to the public of the suspect. And just last night, the suspect was taken into custody at 10 p.m. local time. In less than 36 hours, 33 to be precise, thanks to the full weight of the federal government and leading out with the partners here in the state of Utah and Governor Cox, the suspect was apprehended in a historic time period. And I want to highlight what Governor Cox said. This would not have been possible without you, the media, and you, the public. That's why we went so public, so fast, and we're so transparent, and we're committed to that transparency. The crime scene, just a little bit there. It is a large crime scene. State and local authorities, along with federal authorities, processed that crime scene quickly. And I even had the ability to walk through that crime scene and walk through the steps the suspect took to learn more about what was needed and what resources we needed to bear to create a full picture for the FBI and leadership back in Washington. Furthermore, thankfully to state and local partners, forensic evidence has been seized and continues to be garnered. Forensic evidence has already been evaluated at FBI laboratories in Quantico and state and local authorities here. We will continue to process evidence as we see it, as we collect it, and we will continue to deliver to Governor Cox and his team. Last night, we had a total of approximately 7,000 leads. As of this morning, thanks to your great work, we have over 11,000 leads that were called in to the FBI. And we are running out every single lead that we can. Every one of those leads will be run out. The arrest is a testament to the dedication of good law enforcement being great and partnerships in law enforcement, which I've tried to highlight as my tenure as the director of the FBI. There is no better relationship for law enforcement than the FBI to partner with state and local authorities, and you've seen it here in these last few days. The FBI Salt Lake Field Office, along with our offices in LA, Phoenix, Denver, San Antonio, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, our headquarters component in Quantico, all participate in the FBI. I want to express my deep gratitude to the employees of the FBI, the men and women, the evidence response team tacticians, the special operators, the agents, the support staff. You have done monumental work in historic time when the public, who had a right to demand such an expeditious solving of an investigation, the FBI answered that call diligently, critically important to our nation, and we delivered. And I'm proud to be their leader, and I'm proud to be the director of the FBI. This is a very much an ongoing investigation, as the governor said, and we will continue to work with state and local authorities to develop the investigation, to provide them the evidence they need for their ongoing prosecutions, and we will be here to answer every call they absolutely have, as long as it takes, for as long as we need to find and apprehend whatever suspects were involved in this crime. Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.
Thank you, and good morning. I would just like to take a few minutes as the sheriff to express my gratitude for everybody who has played a part in this investigation. As you know, it's been a vast, a complicated, and a very, very fast-paced investigation. You're looking at people standing up here who are running on, if they got an hour's sleep in the last couple of days, they're probably lucky. It has been very taxing. It has been so impressive speaking on behalf of the local law enforcement to see the cooperation that we've seen in this type of case. Across the state, sheriffs, chiefs, our state partners have stepped up and have come to the call on anything that we needed. Our county chiefs have been phenomenal. Our Utah County Attorney, Jeff Gray, who's standing up here with us, has been phenomenal in leading us through this investigation. I would like to thank the federal government for their resources, their assets. Our local team here, our FBI team, has been extraordinary in helping us work through this and bring this person to justice. Most of all, I would like to thank the public, and specifically, I would like to thank the public who turned to prayers and who turned to positiveness for us. I would like to thank them on behalf of the law enforcement community because we needed those prayers. That's what we needed to get through this. We needed your support, and you gave it to us. We needed your patience, and you gave it to us. And I would like to thank you for the Kirk family because that's what they need, is your support and your prayers, and that will get us through all of this. So thank you, everybody, for everybody that have stepped up. We've had such a phenomenal response to this. Thank you.
I also want to give a special thanks to the Attorney General and the Department of Justice. Their unwavering support and their commitment to justice is shown true here. And without AG Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanch and the resources they brought to bear, we would not have been able to complete our mission. And I just want to say a special thanks. It's an honor to be a part of the Department of Justice.
Thank you again to our incredible law enforcement team who has worked so hard. Sheriff, I got a solid 90 minutes last night, so I'm probably the most well-rested person up here. Ladies and gentlemen, I get the microphone, so I hope you'll permit me a moment just to share a few more thoughts about where we are and how we got here and maybe a little bit of where we go from here. I don't want to get too preachy, but I think it's important that we, with eyes wide open, understand what's happening in our country today. I've heard people say, well, why are we so invested in this? There's violence happening all across our country. And violence is tragic everywhere. And every life taken is a child of God who deserves our love and respect and dignity. This is certainly about the tragic death, assassination, political assassination of Charlie Kirk. But it is also much bigger than an attack on an individual. It is an attack on all of us. It is an attack on the American experiment. It is an attack on our ideals. This cuts to the very foundation of who we are, of who we have been, and who we could be in better times. Political violence is different than any other type of violence for lots of different reasons. One, because in the very act that Charlie championed of expression, that freedom of expression that is enshrined in our founding documents, in having his life taken in that very act makes it more difficult for people to feel like they can share their ideas, that they can speak freely. We will never be able to solve all the other problems, including the violence problems that people are worried about, if we can't have a clash of ideas safely and securely. Even, especially those ideas with which you disagree. That's why this matters so much. Over the last 48 hours, I have been as angry as I have ever been, as sad as I have ever been. And it was, as anger pushed me to the brink, it was actually Charlie's words that pulled me back. I'd like to share some of those. And specifically right now, if I could, I need to talk to the young people in our state, in my state, and all across the country. As President Trump reminded me, he said, you know who really loved Charlie? The youths. And he's right. Young people loved Charlie, and young people hated Charlie. And Charlie went into those places anyway. And these are the words that have helped me. Charlie said, when people stop talking, that's when you get violence. He said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment, love without condition, forgive without limit. He said, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. A few months ago, I referenced this last night, Charlie posted to social media, when things are moving very fast and people are losing their minds, it's important to stay grounded. Turn off your phone, read scripture, spend time with friends, and remember, internet fury is not real life. It's going to be okay. He again said, when you stop having a human connection with someone you disagree with, it becomes a lot easier to commit violence. He said, what we as a culture have to get back to is being able to have a reasonable agreement, being able to have reasonable agreement where violence is not an option. Now, again, to my young friends out there, you are inheriting a country where politics feels like rage. It feels like rage is the only option. But through those words, we have a reminder that we can choose a different path. Your generation has an opportunity to build a culture that is very different than what we are suffering through right now. Not by pretending differences don't matter, but by embracing our differences and having those hard conversations. I think we need more moral clarity right now. I hear all the time that words are violence. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. And there is one person responsible for what happened here. And that person is now in custody and will be charged soon and will be held accountable. And yet, all of us have an opportunity right now to do something different. I want to thank my fellow Utahns. This bad stuff happens. For 33 hours, I was praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us. That somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I had hoped for, just because I thought it would make it easier on us if we could just say, hey, we don't do that here. And indeed, Utah is a special place. We lead the nation in charitable giving. We lead the nation in service every year. But it did happen here. And it was one of us. But I want you to look at how Utahns reacted the last two nights. There was no rioting. There was no looting. There were no cars set on fire. There was no violence. There were vigils and prayers and people coming together to share the humanity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is the answer to this. We can return violence with violence. We can return hate with hate. And that's the problem with political violence, is it metastasizes. Because we can always point the finger at the other side. And at some point, we have to find an off-ramp, or it's going to get much, much worse. But see, these are choices that we can make. History will dictate if this is a turning point for our country. But every single one of us gets to choose right now if this is a turning point for us. We get to make decisions. We have our agency. And I desperately call on every American Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, conservative, MAGA, all of us to please, please, please follow what Charlie taught me. I'll just conclude with words I share often from a friend and author, Yuval Levin, who was asked if he was optimistic about our country. And he said, I'm not optimistic. He said, I hate optimism. Like, ah, that sounds bad. But he said, optimism is a vice. It's this idea that good things are just going to happen. And he said, in the history of the world, good things have never just happened. He says, I'm not optimistic, but I am hopeful. And hope is the virtue that sits between the vices of optimism and pessimism. Hope is the idea that good things are going to happen because we can make them so. I still believe in our country, and I know Charlie Kirk believed in our country. I still believe that there is more good among us than evil. And I still believe that we can change the course of history. I'm hopeful because Americans can make it so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Governor, can you please speak to whether the suspect is speaking with authorities and his demeanor, Tyler Robinson, when he turned himself in?
I cannot speak to that right now.
This is the press conference that is happening and still ongoing in Utah after the shooting suspect has been captured. The shooting of Charlie Kirk, a very popular conservative talk show host and activist who was murdered a couple of days ago. The shooter is Tyler Robinson. He's 22 years old. He's from Utah. And we will talk more about what we have learned. That was the Governor Spencer Cox of Utah, who was just speaking a few moments ago. Cash Patel, director of the FBI, spoke. They had the sheriff, Mike Smith, who spoke as well at the press conference, which is ongoing. If there are any further developments from this press conference, we will let you know about those. But John Hancock and Chris Ranji are with you. When we come back, we will discuss what we just heard here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock, Chris Ranji, today with you. The press conference in Utah is ongoing right now. Spencer Cox, the Republican governor there, is still speaking and taking questions from the press, which is assembled. Kash Patel, director of the FBI, spoke this morning as well. They had their sheriff, Mike Smith, who spoke. And so here's what we have learned, John Hancock, who was in for Amy today. What we've learned is that Tyler Robinson is the suspect who is in custody. He's the suspect in the shooting and murder of Charlie Kirk a couple of days ago at Utah Valley College. He's 22 years old. He is from Utah. His family, and all reports were that it was his father who had turned him in. And that's he had confessed to his father that he had done it. His father had turned him in. Also, they had spoken to a roommate of his as well. So we didn't get a ton of detail about this, except we did find out that there were writings on the bullet casings.
Yeah.
And some of the writings were things like, "Hey, fascist, catch. What's this?" It referenced a song called Bella Ciao, which is an Italian song that was written or sung after World War II. And there was also a message that said, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO. So this sounds like somebody who was, and according to Spencer Cox, the governor, he had become more political recently. We don't know exactly what all his politics are, though it sounds like he was an anti-fascist. And it was not something that was, I suppose, important to him up until recently. But we didn't learn a lot more about him or what really motivated this. We know it's on the bullet casings, and that's about it at this point. We also know that Spencer Cox yesterday said they were going to pursue the death penalty, though I don't think he mentioned that today. I didn't hear him say that. So in Utah, the death penalty is a thing, and that's what they are going to pursue here, John. So you heard everything that was said. Kash Patel really talked about the job that law enforcement did in apprehending him, and it took about 33 hours to get that done. Didn't hear much from the sheriff, but when all of the things that you heard, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, it's a 22-year-old kid. He's obviously troubled. You don't take that kind of action if you're thinking rationally. And we don't know much about him. We don't know much about his motivation. And don't know much about his family dynamic. I guess he had a roommate, so he was living away from home. Don't know what his status of employment was or was not. So there's a whole lot to be learned. I am grateful that he was captured alive, because at least in that case, you're going to potentially be able to get some
detail.
Detail. You know, I hesitate to say answers and explanations, because there's no rational thought process that would lead somebody to think it's a good idea to go shoot and kill another human being. And that's what this is. And, you know, we've seen the course of political violence over our nation's history. It goes back 160 years. And the folks that do these kinds of heinous crimes have a multiple number of reasons or illnesses or combinations of both. And, you know, sometimes the explanation is the guy was mentally insane. And we don't know if that's the case here. But we will, because they did capture him alive, hopefully at least get some closure and some indication of what drove him to do this. And I think, you know, if he in fact is the one who pulled that trigger, he picked the wrong state to do it in, because Utah is a very aggressive death penalty state.
Oh, and they'll convict him.
Yes.
I mean, if this it appears to I'm assuming this is the person, right? And we don't know with 100% certainty, but it seems right. You know, I mean, all the evidence from what we're being told appears to be there. That's going to happen. He'll be convicted, and that's going to be his fate, I think.
I think that's right. And of course, here you're subject to federal charges as well. There'll be a jurisdictional question between the state of Utah and the federal government over which entity is going to take the lead on prosecuting. There may be joint charges in both jurisdictions. There may be trials in both the state and federal jurisdictions. That's all going to play out in the future. I think in the short term, you have trying to get at some motive, if there is one. And then you have the real essential concern that I have is, are we in a pattern, an unending potentially pattern of political violence in this country that's going to go back and forth? And I certainly hope and pray that's not the case. But we've seen an escalation. There's just no question about that. I saw a study the other, yesterday. The Center for Strategic and International Studies said there have been, in the last 5 years, three times as many attacks and plots uncovered, more in the last 5 years than there were over the prior 25 years combined in terms of political violence in this country. That's a real concern and a real problem. And I've not been particularly satisfied with much of the rhetoric on either side as it relates to this. A lot of people have said the right things. The right things to say is easy. It's obvious. And there's been a lot of not right things being said on the left and on the right in the wake of this shooting.
Well, let me say this. I think one person who has been just exceptional in the last couple of days is the Utah governor, the Republican Spencer Cox.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Who has he has had the exact right tone. He has not blamed any political side. And let's be honest, this I don't know if this guy is in fact a left winger. He is a left winger, like a hardcore left winger. His parents apparently were registered Republicans, so we don't really know what his politics were or what changed them. If he was on some, you know, crazy message boards, who knows what he's been doing? And we're going to find out more about that as the days and weeks go on. But what the governor has not done is say these crazy left wingers or these crazy right wingers. He's not done that. And there has been violence that has existed on both sides. But it seems like what we're doing here is like the president the other day, which I thought was disappointing, the day of the shooting, who had an opportunity to speak, and he did. He posted a video on Truth Social, and in that video, he just went over the list of all the left-wing violence, but did not mention the Minnesota legislator who was murdered in her home, did not mention the arson at Josh Shapiro, the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania's home. He did not mention Paul Pelosi, who was attacked in his home. This has existed on both sides here, okay? And I don't care anymore to debate or talk about, well, who's done it more? It kind of doesn't matter at this point. It really doesn't, because it just needs to stop. At some point, the cycle has to stop, and the blame has to stop. And everybody needs to stand up and say, I don't care who's more responsible for this violence. It doesn't matter. We all need to tone it the hell down. It's like two people in a room fighting with each other. It doesn't matter which one of them is more right, because they're both kind of wrong, and they both need to sit the hell down. And somebody needs to stand up and say, all right, that's it. Just stop this, because it can't get out of control. We saw a bunch of bomb threats were sent yesterday. The DNC received some threats because of all of this going on. That stuff's got to stop. It has to stop right now. And I'm not here to talk about blame anymore, because it just needs to be over. Because like you said, John, if it continues down this path, it will get worse.
Well, I see no indication that it's going to be over. We live in a culture that is quite toxic in a lot of ways, and we live in a information environment that is new and different than anything any of us have experienced in our lifetimes. In the immediacy of the news, the fact that we're getting feeds on social media showing the moment that somebody's life ended, that's new in this country. And there's nothing that's going to put that genie back in the proverbial bottle. And you do have inflammatory voices in extreme parts of the ideological spectrum in this country. And in my small, tiny little part of the world in which I reside, I've lived to see a transformation of the way we do politics in this country. It used to be, when I got involved back when I was this kid's age, the job of a political campaign was to build consensus. You wanted to appeal to as many people as possible, and you wanted, and you typically positioned your ideological moorings were positioned from the center to the right or from the center to the left. And that's the ground on which we fought campaigns. Today, American politics is about division and dividing, and both sides do it. And you divide the country into us and them, and you work hard to ensure that the us side of that equation is more than the them in any given election. And it's just look at the messaging of campaigns, go back and look at it from 30 years ago, and we are in a completely new place right now. And I don't see that, sadly, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
A couple of years ago, I used to say people, generally speaking, want the sides to compromise and reach a good middle ground. And I think that was true. I don't know that's true anymore.
There used to be a pretty broad middle ground where most people were, and maybe that still exists in this country, but I'm not so sure anymore.
I've got very little confidence in that anymore. Maybe I'm wrong, and we do want to talk about that with you, and we will continue to do that throughout the day today. But when we come back, we're going to turn our attention locally because Sean Malone, reporter from the KMOX newsroom, has some information on the ex-Missouri Speaker of the House, John Deal, who has pleaded guilty to fraud charges. So we will talk to Sean Malone covering that story next on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Chris and Amy show on KMOX. Only got a few minutes here, but John Hancock is in for Amy today. Sean Malone, KMOX reporter. Let's get an update on what has happened. We've been focused on this national story about the murder of Charlie Kirk, and the suspect has been caught. They believe they have the person who's done the shooting. But here locally, the ex-Speaker of the House in Missouri is in some trouble, Sean.
Yeah, it was quite the mystery going into court yesterday. It was listed on the docket as USA versus defendant. And a lot of us in the press got a tip of, hey, this is someone that's formerly involved in politics. And there's probably going to be a guilty plea after the waiver of indictment that was on the docket as well. So everyone was kind of sitting there wondering, okay, who's this going to wind up being? Who's this going to wind up being? And, you know, a bit of a blast from the past with John Deal, who's been out of the headlines for, or at least out of politics for quite some time. He was the former Speaker of the House, and he pled guilty to one single count of wire fraud because during the pandemic, he took a loan from the CARES Act for $379,000 that was supposed to go to his business where he was the lone employee, and instead spent it on a large number of lavish personal expenses.
Okay, so that's not what you were expecting to happen, I suppose. What happens next then with John Deal?
Really, at this point, we just wait till sentencing. You know, he was released on bond after pleading guilty, and we'll see what his sentence winds up being. He could face up to 20 years and a fine of $250,000. He has already paid restitution, the prosecutor said during the hearing. So he doesn't have to pay back that money he's already, or at least he doesn't have to continue to pay back that money that he stole from the government. He's already done that, apparently. So really, at this point, he's just out on bond. There was a little bit of a back and forth during the bond hearing about mostly logistics around him and his home in Utah. He has a second home out there that they say he visits quite frequently. And the defense just wanted to avoid having to do paperwork filings every single time he wants to go out there. And the prosecutors were basically just like, look, we have no problem with him going out there, but just he's got to file the paperwork every time so that way we know where he is at all times. And basically the judge, you know, kind of split it down the middle. Is like, look, fill out the paperwork, but it's about 2 months. It's December when he'll be sentenced. So 2-3 months there. It's kind of like just fill out one thing of paperwork for all the times you plan to visit, and then we'll allow that, you know, and that's kind of how both sides came to the agreement there with his bond. But other than that, there's no real new updates that will come between now and sentencing when he learns how long he's going to spend potentially behind bars.
So the maximum sentence is 20 years. Is there a minimum sentence for this particular wire fraud charge that we know of?
I don't know if there's a minimum. I don't know that he'll get away with a slap on the wrist here just because of the amount of money that was stolen. You know, this is a question more for our legal analyst, Brad Young, right, than it is myself, but they were going over the point system to determine, you know, what kind of punishment there should be or how severe the wire fraud was. And, you know, the points went up quite a bit just because of the amounts that he had stolen, but then it came down quite a bit as well because this is a first-time offense for him.
Right.
He paid the restitution. He's pleading guilty as well. So I imagine the recommendation that's going to come from prosecutors, which has not been made yet, the recommended sentence may not be as high as if he tried to fight this out in court.
Charges are federal, correct?
Correct. They are federal charges.
All right, Sean Malone, we appreciate the reporting. Thank you for talking with us today. And if you find out anything more, let us know.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Sean Malone from the KMOX newsroom, who is out on assignment. I didn't even think it was about this. He was doing a completely different story, but that guy's everywhere.
He's a busy guy.
He really is.
And what a great name, Sean Malone.
Sean Malone is a fantastic name.
I mean, that's a great name.
So, John Deal, huh? Why do we, does it seem like we have an inordinate amount of politicians who do things they're not supposed to?
I don't know if it's inordinate.
In Missouri?
Yeah. You know, I think the political class is not much different than any other group of people as far as whether you're looking at attorneys or folks that teach school. You're going to find bad actors or people who do bad things in all of those professions. So, I mean, politics, because it's so high profile, I think it's kind of a bum rap sometimes. But, you know, I'm sad. I know John, and, you know, I'm saddened by this.
You know, John Hancock, I wish you had been elected when you ran. And do you want to know why?
Why?
Because you never would have done anything like this.
Well, the people spoke.
There'd have been no, hey, you should have elected John Hancock. There would have been no wire fraud.
I gave them every opportunity.
Well, there would have been no wire fraud. There would have been no pandemic fraud. No fraud at all.
Well, you never know.
Elect John Hancock, the no fraud candidate.
See you next hour.
Hour two of the show is coming up, and yes, there has been a development in the Charlie Kirk assassination case. They got a suspect. He is in custody. You'll hear more about that at the top of the news here, top of the hour with the news. Then we'll talk to Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom. Three good things in roaming St. Louis next on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.